Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. We'll be counting some money, hopefully, a few minutes, buy or sell, talk Orioles with Rich Dubroff, give you those standings updates in baseball as well with the American League East report. And beyond, we got NFL Lunch at 1, revisit last night's game. Games, plural, and boy, a ton of quarterback injuries going on in the NFL. Needless to say, we got a lot to get to. And Vinny's Feeble 5. Looking right at you, New Orleans is feeble, but not as feeble as we thought they were going to be. But we digress, of course. Here's John Harbaugh yesterday as he met with the media, weekly press conference, talking about Lamar Jackson and his growth orchestrating the offense.
That wasn't on my sheet as far as a possible question. The past few years, I would say Lamar's been, thanks, Jed. Lamar's been great the past few years. Does that answer your question? No, I know. I think it's indicative. Your point is really good because he's been, you know, that shows you. I mean, there was a tough game yesterday against a really great defense, you know, and so just this last game, I mean, it was tough sledding, and it wasn't just coming our way in terms of field position or in terms of just, you know, opportunities for plays or things like that. And yet, you know, he kept pressing. He kept making, checks he needed to make. And a couple times there was plays that were, I think, really in trouble. And he bailed them out. You know, I'm probably three of his big plays were plays that he made something out of absolutely nothing. And, you know, made a bad play into a great play.
You know what? It felt like just, you know, because we've seen Lamar play every game he's ever played here, Bob. It just seemed like that watching it, it didn't feel like it was a great game, but statistically, it was a great game. You know, I mean, I guess that's the expectations and stuff we have for, I mean, he had three touchdowns or four touchdowns, but he should have had five, you know, and it was like, missed some throws, you know, early on. He was kind of off a little bit, never really ran, but he still had four touchdowns, should have had five touchdowns. I mean, that's how special and great the dude is, man.
And look, and he was a little shaky, as was the offense in the first half, because Cleveland took away the run. But at what point do we just act surprised that he's orchestrating things offensively? I mean, the guy's got two MVP, should have three. Quarterback ratings well over 130 through the first 2 weeks of the season. And every Sunday, you know, he is going to keep the Ravens in the game, and at some point in time, it's going to do Lamar stuff to help you win the game.
Like the pass to Zay Flowers scrambling around on third down. That was a hell of a play. The touchdown pass to Wallace was a really nice play. So, you know, I mean, yeah, he does. We just take it for granted because we see it all the time.
And it's the one narrative that drives me nuts, and I'm not saying that was a stupid question yesterday, but well, he's not really a quarterback. He threw 41 touchdown passes last year. He led the NFL in touchdown passes when he won his first MVP. And my rebuttal is always, well, who's throwing the touchdown passes? The long snapper? The punter? The quarterback? Yes, he's a quarterback. Everyone wants this, like, I guess, not everyone, but the critiques are coming from people that want to see the Johnny Unitas pose where you're back in the pocket and your defenders are bouncing off of you left and right. No, he's reinventing the position. He's putting up these insane numbers, and there's a faction of Ravens fans who still don't appreciate that, which makes me insane. We're watching arguably the best quarterback play in the history of Baltimore football happen in real time, and I don't think people are appreciating it right now.
No, that's because they're like us. They're just used to it, Bob. I mean, he's been they're more shocked if he doesn't do. I mean, that was Schwartzy basically said, I'm putting eight in the box. You're not going to run the ball. And I've got corners that I'm going to play man coverage on, and we've got excellent corners. Can your receivers get open, and can your quarterback throw it consistently enough? And that's what Schwartz challenged them to do. And they did. They scored 41 points.
All right. Got me running hot all of a sudden. News from the Nest here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny 80, Nolan McGraw. We had, who was it? Cole C. called in yesterday about the Andrews. Delpit knocked a ball out of his hand in the end zone. Mm-hmm. I was going to bring up Lee Evans, Nolan, but I didn't want you getting all discombobulated over there at the AFC Championship game 2011, right before it counted. But here's Harbs talking about not challenging a couple of plays that happened this past summer.
That was a hard don't challenge from my guys upstairs, because they had a long time to look at that. They're not going to change what they looked at it, and they made their decision already from upstairs, you know, in New York. So that wasn't going to get overturned. There was no third act, even in the end zone. There was nothing. There's no football act at all, and the ball got knocked out. So that's what was explained to me at the time, that we were going to lose the challenge if we did it. Now, if we call in and we find out that, because I'll be honest with you, Luke, it hasn't been 100% consistent. Maybe, you know, sometimes they look the same to us, and you try to get a gauge on what's going to get overturned and what's not going to get overturned, and then you get surprised. So I'm not saying that's not possible, but it looked like at the time. And I think it's probably going to be confirmed that we'd have lost the challenge and lost the timeout.
That's kind of interesting, Bob, because, you know, I mean, Harbs is going to go over there and the referee says, don't waste your time. You know, because they got the mic to New York and, you know, there's not a football movement there. So don't challenge, you're going to lose.
So if he'd have been standing there like a statue and it would have hit him right between the 8 and 9, and then Delpit knocks it out, where they have called it a touchdown, because he had to get airborne, right, to make the play. And his feet landed, then Delpit knocked it out.
Right.
So I guess, is that the football move they're referring to?
No, like if he just stood there, Bob, caught it and got it knocked out, that's going to be incomplete too.
Hmm. Well, no harm, no foul when it all came down to it. But Mark Andrews, that play aside, along with the tight ends, not really involved much.
No.
In this Ravens offense through two games. So, John Harbaugh, what's up with that?
I make of it, you know, just football probably. It's going to happen. Those guys are going to catch a lot of passes. I expect those guys to be a big part of what we're doing. You know, if we start going 4 or 5 weeks and, you know, you don't see the tight ends getting targets, it'd probably be asking Monk, you know, and Lamar and the guys, what do you think, you know, but...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The ball goes where it goes based on the reads. You know, that's where the ball goes, based on Lamar's reads, and that's what quarterbacks do. So those guys know that, you know, and they're fighting to run good routes and just trying to make the plays that come to them.
I think it was a tough game this week for the tight ends just because, like I said, man coverage. And the guy that is good at getting open against man coverage is likely. Kolar, no. Andrews has got to beat you up to get open. So not a great game for him either. Like Zay and Bate, yeah, they're good at running routes and creating separation. So he was looking to Zay and Bate. Bate on the one drive, he had the 4 targets, and I don't think he ever had another target after that. But Zay was the guy that he was looking to.
5780-1057 The Fan. When we come back, let's count some money. Hopefully, buy or sell on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Talk about sports subjects of the day. And we'll talk Orioles with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Birds have 12 games left in what has been a very disappointing 2025 season. But Kyle Bradish showing us that, hey, the hope for him being back to what he was is very much alive.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.